This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning, Charlie. And good morning, all.
Good morning, Franklin. Hey, you Mr. Holiday guy. How was it?
Yeah, fabulous. For those of you who don't know, I just got back. It was a, not a
short
long vacation.
Holiday.
Short
holiday.
5 days, sort of. Staying at the Lake in the Mountain, our favorite spot up there in Prince Edward County, which is such a great part of the province.
Mm-hmm.
Just beautiful. And I was telling you, I was most impressed with a fellow by the John
Pete. Pete Bradford, I think his
Pete
name
Bradford,
is.
Right.
The Cooper.
A Cooper,
yeah.
Barrel maker.
Yeah.
And if you're ever in that area, in Picton area, look up Canadian
Vinegar
Cellars.
C-E-L-L-A-R-S.
Black Prince Winery. They're right behind that, or his big barn is behind that. And he actually makes these barrels. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice guy. Takes you on a virtual tour,
visual,
by talking
yeah.
about, yeah. Said he wanted to be a cooper ever since he was 6 years old and finally accomplished it.
Wow.
Yeah. Something
Amazing.
Else, anyway.
Neat.
Yeah. But here we are to mm-hmm. deal with all sorts of maybe problems that you can
or
help folks out with.
Or maybe happy moments that people
yes.
want to share. It doesn't have to always be a problem.
That's right. Now, you do have a few announcements.
Well,
as is
do you want to do the phone number, darling?
Sure.
And then I'll
yeah.
do my wound.
Oh, all right. In the Toronto area, call this number, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra is call early, call often, one question per call. You can always call back, but, mm-hmm. And then if you're a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know and... thing, you'll receive your wings, your garden wings when you get
wings.
The air.
Garden wings. You Alrighty. Should call those like monarch butterfly wings or something.
Right.
Okay, so the one big event that's going on that I was told about, mm-hmm. because I share what people give me to share, is the Toronto Japanese Garden Club. They are hosting tomorrow, they do this every year, Nature's Beauty Flower Show. So that's Sunday, August 13th, 12 noon to 4:30 p.m. Admission is only $5 at the Momiji Senior Center, 3555 Kingston Road in Scarborough. So if you're at all interested in seeing displays of ikebana, bonsai, miniature gardens, and Japanese table settings, there's bonsai demonstrations mm-hmm. and ikebana demonstrations in the afternoon. There will be awards given for some of the displays. There will be plants for sale, and the tea room opens at 12 noon. So that sounds like a lot of fun, and I just think everybody should put that on their calendar. Unless they're outside in their own gardens, they might not have time to fit that in.
Okay.
But
yes.
before we go anywhere,
yeah.
I a couple of good emails, and one in particular, I've had this question before, and I thought definitely worth sharing. Paul writes that he has some gladiolas. He thinks they're as much as 45 years old.
Wow.
They've been left in the garden every year, and they survived the winters. There were many colors at the start, and I noticed that they have almost all changed to white.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a normal scenario? Is there anything that I can do to change them to other colors? And is this normal? Help!
Yeah.
All right. I've had that question before, particularly with gladiolas. How come they all seem to revert to one color? So I thought, oh, maybe it's like genetics. Like maybe it's just, the plants go back to their original over a period of years. But a little more research indicates that it's important to realize that gladiolas grow from a corm, which looks a bit like a bulb.
Okay.
All right, so from underground. So every year the plant grows up from this corm, but little baby corms, little offsets, form at the base of the mother corm. And actually, the mothers die and the little babies survive the winter. So that eventually those little ones get mature enough and they grow up tall enough with leaves and flowers. So what happens, of course, is that over a period of time, as these bulbs slash corms are all sitting together in the same bed, the strongest hybrids gradually crowd out the weakest. As a result, you'll end up with a bed full of yellow or white glads or purple iris when you originally planted lots of different colors. The best way to keep this from happening is to dig and replant your corms every year or two, separating the offsets and planting them elsewhere until you know what color they are. Digging will enable you to take inventory every year or two and keep only those colors you really like and sharing the others with your gardening friends.
Ah, so only the strong survive in the initial instance.
Over a period of years, The bigger, stronger brutes overwhelm the less vigorous.
You see what you don't learn, huh?
Yeah, I know. Amazing, eh?
Yeah. Well, here we are on The Garden Show, looking forward to chatting with you. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a first-time caller on the air momentarily after these words on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden here, Frank Proctor, along with Master Gardener, of course, Charlie Dobbin. Mm. And let's welcome James, first-time caller from just around the corner, maybe, in Toronto. Hi, James. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Charlie. I have radishes growing in my backyard. Mm-hmm. I'm a backyard gardener. Mm-hmm. And a while ago, you had mentioned something about the use of the radish stalk for edibles.
Oh, the greens, the leaves.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Could you tell me what that is that you can use them for?
Well, when you're harvesting your radishes, and of course it's the root that we typically grow with the radishes for, you do have all those little green leaves up on the top.
Yeah.
So the younger leaves, I mean, the older ones might have a few little bug holes and that sort of thing. So you might want to dispose of those, just stick them in the composter. But if you have some of the younger leaves that are in good condition, just give them a wash and a drain and incorporate them into your salad. They have a radishy taste, of course. They're a little bit, you know, piquant.
Yeah.
And so just a nice addition. People will often use beet greens for the same reason, that, you know, they're very edible. So the whole plant is edible in that case. Root and stem and leaves. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome. And you know what's one other thing I just realized is this is the time radishes grow so quickly. They are one of the last crops we can continue to plant. Like, we can be still planting radish seeds in September.
And so, they expect to harvest this
year? Because they're up within 3 weeks. They're harvestable within 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, anybody who's just got a little bit, like for me, for example, I've pulled my garlic, so I have empty spot where the garlic was. So I've put lettuce in there because, again, it's a very quick crop. But I think I might just pop some radish seeds in as well because they are great. They're the best when they're out of your own garden.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for your call, James.
Yeah, don't be a stranger, first-time caller. Okay. And here we are, The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio in Liberty Village. As we glance out, it's a pretty cloudy day so far.
So far.
Yeah,
but, you know, tomorrow's going to be nice.
Keep our fingers crossed. Out to Etobicoke we go. Charlie, there's Dorothy. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning. I have a cyclamen plant that is finished blooming for the season. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know how I can sort of revive it so it comes back after a month or two.
Okay. Is it got green leaves on it still?
Sort of.
Okay, so the cyclamen do not need to go dormant. What I would do is it wants to be in a spot that's fairly bright. It doesn't have to be right in a window. It should never be in a south window. Usually that's just a little too bright for it. But, you know, if you have a bright spot near a southern window or on the ledge of an eastern or northern facing window, that's where I would have the plant. Always water from the bottom into the saucer from below. And feel the soil or get used to the weight of the pot. Once it's starting to feel on the dry side, add some water. You actually, if you start to see a little bit of new growth coming on it, you know, some new little green sprouts coming from it, consider fertilizing once, because cyclamen, their season is coming. They typically love to put out lots of flowers in time for Christmas. So the biggest challenge is keeping the temperatures cool. Cyclamen grow best in slightly cooler than the average room temperature. So they like about, you know, 68 degrees kind of, you know, so depending on how you keep your home or apartment, cooler is better, but they do need that bright spot and they do need to be watered from below.
How about if the window is open?
Oh, that's fine. They're good with that. They're happy.
That doesn't matter.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, you know, it's actually, you know, we are going to get into some cooler conditions. So as the fall coolness starts, that cyclamen's going to love it.
And when I kept all the leaves off now, right down to the bottom.
I wouldn't. Have you done that already?
No.
Okay. No. Lee, if you've got green stuff on it, let the green be. If you've got any brown or yellow, certainly cut that out. But let the green grow.
Grow. And okay. How long do you think it'll be before it grows up again?
Oh, it should be growing back right away if it's given the right conditions, brightness and water from below. And like I said, one shot of fertilizer.
Yeah, and when you water from the bottom, do you have it sitting in a dish?
Yep, that's where the water goes, is into the dish. Yep.
And then that will rise up
through
the...
Absolutely. Osmotic pressure, they call that.
Osmotic pressure.
Exactly.
Wow.
It will move through up against gravity, mm-hmm. Just because that's what water does.
Okay, Dorothy.
Right. Thanks, Dorothy.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. There's Josephine out in Pickering. Good morning, Josephine.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you doing?
Excellent.
That's good. I keep cutting in and out for some reason. I don't know whether it's you or whether it's me. However, what I'm calling about is those hydrangeas again.
Mm-hmm.
A question that is combined.
Mm-hmm.
In this spring, I noticed three little shoots coming up
mm-hmm.
from the mother plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought maybe that it was a branch that was down under and so forth and so on. However, I have since discovered that it has grown independently mm-hmm. from the others.
Mm-hmm.
Do they seed themselves, and can I dig it up and transplant it?
I would say no, it did not seed itself, but I would say yes, you can dig it up and transplant it. What it's done is it's grown a stem from a root that is separate from the main plant.
Now, is it okay to dig it up now and transplant it? Or wait until
October? I'd probably wait till the end of August. And remember, what you're going to need is a sharp shovel, because what you're going to sever that... young plant away from the mother plant with your sharp shovel by, you know, digging straight down through and severing underground where they're connected. Because right now, that connection exists underground.
It was the weirdest thing, because as I thought to myself, do these things seed themselves?
No, no, they don't. But you know, I have oak leaf hydrangea in my garden, and it's doing that all the time. I started with one plant, and I've given away three or four that are little babies that are coming off the mother. And I could do it again. I've still got three or four or more I could dig out.
Wow. I hate like the devil to think of when these things fade. For 5 weeks now, I have had magnificent blooms on these hydrangeas.
Excellent. Well, it has been a good year for the hydrangea. All that rain, hydrangeas liked.
Well, it's sure doing its business.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thanks, Josephine.
Thanks, Josephine.
All righty.
Good weekend.
You too.
Thank you, and the same to you. As we approach 9:24 and say goodbye to Josephine, that frees up a line. In fact, we've got a couple of lines open right now in Toronto.
Let me just interject, because so people know, we do have a special guest joining us in about 5 minutes. And this is John Statham of John's Garden up in Uxbridge. He's got a very loyal following, so I'm sure some of our listeners know John and his garden center, wholesale and retail. So just know that we are going to have him on the line for a few minutes. So if you are calling in, do be prepared to be on hold for a bit.
Excellent point. Okay, phone numbers then in Toronto, 416-360-0740, and then anywhere else in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. A little message or two, and then we're back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round.
This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And let's say hi to Chris in Dunnville just before we welcome our special guest for this morning. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Yeah, just morning. A quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie?
Yep.
My garden's about 50 by 150,
mm-hmm.
and I want to put lime on it.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, I think the garden, I think it needs to be sweetened up a bit.
You don't know that by just looking. The only way you know
soil
that,
test.
Pardon?
I could get a
soil test.
I can get a soil test from, like, you can get the kits, I guess, or something from Home Hardware, but...
Yeah, what I would do, Chris, is I would, you're in Dunnville, you're not that far from Guelph. Do you have access to the internet?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, let's see. I'll tell you what, before we finish the show, keep listening. So before we get to the end of the hour, I am going to read out a phone number for you to call.
Yeah.
There are several accredited soil testing labs in Ontario.
Yeah.
Two of them are at the University of Guelph.
Yeah.
One is in Ottawa, one is up, you know. So there's not that many. What you'll need to do, because you don't have, if you had access to the web, you would send them an email. They will send you the instructions and also the packaging to take your soil, package it up, and send it to them.
Yeah.
But by phoning them, you can do the same thing. They will send you the material, and that will include how to take the soil test.
Yeah.
You'll mail it to them. They will mail you back some results.
Yeah, because the lime really wouldn't hurt anything, would it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it can, because, like, I grow just about every, from ox tongue to tomatoes to...
Mm-hmm.
To devil's tongue peppers.
Yeah, nice.
So.
Well, no, I know. First off, you have to know what your pH is.
Yeah.
Before you start talking about adding lime, because lime is going to affect the pH. It's going to raise the pH. And changing your pH has impact on access to nutrient.
Okay.
And so we can really mess things up. I've had, over the years, people, you know, spreading sawdust from their hobby.
No, that don't work worth a darn.
No, or massive quantities of ashes from a winter of burning. And again, making really messing up the soil chemistry.
Yeah.
So that's why nothing wrong with adding lime if it's required, but let's make sure it's truly required.
Yeah, and but I know it's not, but it's general inquiry on behalf of everybody. How'd your little acorn do?
Oh, the little acorns, still little trees. It did, not that hard to grow, but they grow very slowly.
I know, that was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
it was two autumns ago, Frank and I collected
them. Yeah, I just wondered
them.
How your little acorn done.
Yeah, they're little trees still, so they're just, just slowly, from little acorns, big oaks grow.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I imagine everybody that listens as regular as what I do, they probably wanted that update on your acorn.
Thank you for asking, and I'll certainly give them a little stroke when I get home and let them know that
okay,
they're,
thank you very
they've
much.
Been asked
Alrighty,
about. Alrighty,
Chris. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. And so remind me, I have to give that number for the soil testing lab.
Right. And I'm going to ask all the rest of the folks who are online right now on the phone in a hold position, Leona, Jane, and Verna, just to simply hold on there.
Yep.
Listen to the show. We have a special guest that Charlie will introduce properly right about now,
Yeah, well, I mentioned earlier, John Statham is joining us. He is the owner of John's Garden. John's Garden is well known. I've seen him at the Peterborough Garden Show, Canada Blooms, all these different shows. He's a specialist. I always think of him as a perennial specialist, but he's going to tell us if that's true. He does live and work out of Uxbridge, and he is joining us because he wants to talk about a fundraising activity that he's got going on. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Charlie.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you?
Hi, John. Nice to have you aboard here.
Frank.
Hi, Frank.
And I told you, Frank doesn't live that far from you in your Uxbridge sort of Port Perry area.
Yes.
So tell us what's going on. The animal shelter is very old, very small, and very decrepit, and you and your people, your staff, your customers are participating in an event. So what's going on?
Well, we've been raising money for the new animal shelter for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a goal of $1.7 million, and they are almost at $1.1 million already.
Wow. Mm.
And that's mostly been done by different citizens and local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to get my hands on a number of a new rose from Proven Winners called At Last. And we are raffling off these roses with donations Every time somebody donates $5 to the animal shelter, they get a ballot mm-hmm. to go into the raffle, and we're mm-hmm. going to do the draw at the end of the Labor Day weekend.
Right. So on the Tuesday, I think you're going to do, and you're going to draw as many as 25 or more roses are going to be given away.
Yes. We initially slated 25 roses for the raffle, mm-hmm. but the response has been really great. We've almost raised $500 in the last week.
Wow, that's great.
So for every $20 on top of the after the $500, for every $20 we raise, we're adding another rose to the mix.
Cool.
So the odds of winning remain 1 in 4.
That's pretty good odds.
Darn right.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me tell you about my At Last Rose, because this is kind of what started. You contacted me via Facebook and said, hey, you know, I've got these At Last Roses. Would you like to try one? And I said, guess what? I'm trying one now. I was given one this past spring, and it is such a pretty rose. And the color is like an apricot color, so it's that very peachy, pinky, mm-hmm. it's lovely. I've got Jack Manny, like dark purple Jack Manny clematis in behind, and I've got double orange dahlias beside, and you know, there's hydrangeas coming up on the other side. So it's in a very nice spot. Obviously, lots of sun. All roses want lots of sun.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's just perking along, shiny green leaves, not a speck of disease, no insects. Well, you know what? I looked yesterday. I do have leaf cutter bees that always nest in my garden. So there are leaf cutter bees cutting out some little circles out of the leaves.
But not really that harmful.
Not at all. No, I'm happy to let them take little pieces of leaves. It's not a problem. But it's really cute because they cut a perfect circle, right, out of the edges of the leaves to plug in to the hives. It's a fragrant rose.
Very fragrant, yes.
Much more fragrant than the average shrub rose, so it's hardy, no winter, special winter care. Just get it in a sunny spot with pretty good soil, and you are guaranteed a show-stopping, knock-your-socks-off plant.
How can folks have a chance at this? How can they get involved with a donation?
Well, they can go visit John at his garden center. Do you want to give us the address, John?
It's 4300 Concession 7 mm-hmm. in Uxbridge.
And so what's that close to?
Nearest major roads would be Lake Ridge and Goodwood Road.
Okay.
Right. So you know exactly where that is. Frank used to live in Goodwood. So there you are there. Now, if they can't come and see you and they wanted to call and just donate some money or buy some tickets by phoning, you and I discussed yesterday that they could do that. Mm-hmm. But if they win a rose, they have to actually come and pick it up because you're not mailing roses to anybody.
Yeah, we don't have a system in place for shipping, but we'll gladly take phone donations and phone ballots.
Okay.
And put the ballots in the box ourselves.
All right. I'm going to give your phone number, so everybody get your pencils out. If you're not in the Uxbridge area, give John a call because you would like to get involved in this raffle. And it's an extremely good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Building a proper animal shelter when there's so many homeless and abandoned animals. I know because I have my feral cat. Mr. Mist, who lives in my backyard. So to get in touch with John and his staff, it's 905-862-8175. And John has got a big presence on Facebook. So people want to get a handle on what you're doing there, John. How do they, for the web savvy types, what's the best way to get a hold of you on the web?
The easiest way to find my Facebook page is just type in johnsgarden.ca, mm-hmm. and that will redirect to my business page, mm-hmm. the Facebook business page.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a blog, which mm-hmm. hadn't been updated in quite a while, but I've just this morning put a blog up about the rose and the fundraiser.
Nice.
And I just published it maybe 2 minutes before I called you.
Uh-huh. Getting in under the wire.
We call that hot off the press, I think.
Good stuff.
Okay, and so besides this fundraiser and, you know, these beautiful roses that you have on hand, people could take a look at them, what else is going on in your garden center? Is there anything else that's looking particularly gorgeous that people would like to come and see or potentially purchase?
Well, we're constantly bringing in plants.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, there's a number of things that are looking amazing. But grasses, ornamental grasses mm-hmm. are one of those plant groups that are near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. It's one of my speaking subjects.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of grasses that just look phenomenal at the moment.
Oh, good. So lots of unusual stuff too, I bet.
Yes, lots of unusual stuff, things that are brand new.
Nice.
We have a butterfly bush that's not supposed to be available until next year.
Oh, sneaky.
And it's this great cute little butterfly bush.
What color is it?
Proven winners.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What color is it?
It's a deep purple.
Nice.
And it's called Pugster Blue.
Pugster Blue.
Hmm.
And it's very fragrant, and it's got a very strong stem to it, which is
nice. Because a lot of the butterfly bush is floppy this year with all this rain.
Yes. The hydrangeas are looking amazing. I'm actually walking around in the garden center at the moment in my socks. And Rose of Sharon's starting to pop. And we have a large selection of perennial hibiscus, which is always one of my favorites.
Right.
Big dinner plate flowers.
Exactly. The monster Dixie Bells. And they're monster flowers on those. One of the last ones to show in the spring. So do you consider yourself kind of a perennial specialist? Or you have conifers? You have a real good mix, don't you?
Yeah, we have a real good mix. I especially do a lot with unusual conifers.
Mm.
But my nickname when I worked somewhere else was Perennial John.
You're right.
Perennial John.
And that's still on my business cards.
Yeah, Perennial John. I remember that. Excellent. Well, there you go.
Well, good luck at all of the endeavors you're into there, John. Sounds really interesting.
And I'm going to send Frank and Shirley to come and visit you, John, and get themselves some tickets and win one of those roses, because I think it would be a really lovely addition to Shirley's garden.
Like to do that.
Yeah, and of course, a big tree came down, so you've got that big sunny spot to fill, right?
That's exactly right.
All those hostas were burning up in the sun because it wasn't so shady anymore. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. I'm sure you've got customers lining up as we speak. It's going to be a great day for gardening.
Well, thank you very much for promoting this great cause.
Our pleasure. Talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
Take care, my friend. And we had better take just a little bit of a break because the good folks have been hanging on the line there. Leona, Jane, Verna, and Elaine have just recently joined on the line. So we'll get to those callers in just a couple of moments here. The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin on AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
And Frank Proctor.
And you betcha.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, welcoming Leona to the line from Port Colborne. Good morning, Leona.
Good morning to you, and good morning, Charlie.
Morning.
How's your weather up there?
Nice. Sun's out here now.
Sun just broke through.
We're having a real rainstorm down here.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't worry.
Thunder, lightning, and the whole bit.
Sun's coming.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm calling about my lily. I've never grown lily, and last year I put in a bulb. It has grown at least 6 feet, and I counted 50 blooms on it. I could not believe this.
One bulb?
Yeah, one bulb.
Oh, my goodness.
My man is out of this world.
Wow.
Now, I want to know what to do.
Sounds like you're doing all the right things.
I was going to say, what could you possibly do, just other than smile and admire it? Is it a fragrant bulb? What color is it, the flowers?
It's the deepest pink I've ever saw.
And is it really fragrant? It's one of the stargazers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just the only thing. Somebody said I should separate it, but I don't know what.
Well, okay, so you only planted one bulb. There's not going to be that much to separate. I find that mind-boggling. All right, so here's what you do. The flowers are probably finished now, right?
Yes, they just started. There's a few left on it, but not many.
All right, so once they're all kind of shriveled up and the petals have fallen off, get out your pruners and just cut off where the flowers were, not down into the leaves there, but just the top of the stems. Mm-hmm. That's because you don't want the plant to set seeds. It takes a lot of energy to set seeds, and you clearly don't need seeds. You've got bulbs.
Right.
Okay, so, and then the green leaves and the green stems are going to stand in your garden until they get knocked down by frost.
Right.
So that's going to be a period of another month or two. At whatever point, either the plant is completely yellow or frost knocks it down and it turns completely yellow and brown, then you will cut all that foliage, stem, and leaf away, roughly at ground level. Throw that all in the composter. Make sure you put a little stake or some kind of a mark in the garden so you know exactly where that bulb is.
Mm-hmm.
in the spring, it's not going to be the first thing up. You're going to have other plants coming up, and you don't want to step where that is. You just want to know that that little clump of lilies is there underground. And when it starts to poke through, it's going to be like little dinosaurs erupting. It's quite magical, those big lily bulbs, the way they sort of erupt overnight. It's like a volcano of green. In terms of separating, I mean, you could separate, you know, late September sort of timing, or even early September. So you dig up the whole clump, separate each of the bulbs out individually, replant them a few inches apart, or I'd leave it. Like, I wouldn't, if you've just planted it that recently, I'd leave it for a couple of years. I'd let it go for 2 or 3 years before I did any digging and dividing.
It sounds too good to mess with.
Well, did you find you needed some, like, 12-foot stakes to hold this whole thing up?
Well, what I do, it's, my husband made me a little garden around our veranda because I wanted a small garden, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And it grew, and it, what I did was it grew over the railing.
Got
a steel railing, and it grew taller than that. So I took, somebody told me to get nylons, like pantyhose, anything like that, and to use that to stake it. So that's what I did, and it did fabulous.
Good. That's perfect. Wow. There it is. So it had a natural support system in place. Excellent, because you will find those very tall lilies do tend to be top-heavy, so they have a tendency to fall over. So great. So if you've got some support nearby, that's good to hear.
Good for you, Leona.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations.
Okay.
Thanks
Thank
for calling.
You for joining us here on the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. And out to Scarborough we go, Charlie. There's Jane. Good morning, Jane. Hi, Jane.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm phoning about the Rose of Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Rose of Sharon, but I keep getting all these babies, and it's all over my lawn, and I don't know what to do about it.
I love the callers that things are growing too much. There's too much happy plants growing in those gardens. Yes. Well, okay, so you clearly have a Rose of Sharon, which is very vigorous, sets a lot of seeds, and a lot of that seed is very viable. You could open up your own specialty Rose of Sharon nursery.
That's exactly what I said. I could have a forest here of Rose of Sharon.
I know. Spend every summer digging up baby Rose of Sharons, potting them up, growing them up, and sell them, you know, $20 each, whatever. So what are you going to do? That's not an easy question, because the only way you're going to avoid that happening is, number one, remove the plant that's sending all those seeds everywhere and eliminate the problem that way.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I'm not a big fan of trimming Rose of Sharon in the fall or winter. I like to wait till the spring. But in your case, it might be a good idea to trim back late fall, or maybe even mid-fall. As soon as that plant is pretty much finished flowering, it's all those little flowers turn to those sort of crispy little fruits that are full of seeds.
Yeah.
So your challenge is to collect those seeds before they fall on the ground and start growing. And you'll do that by doing some pruning, either of just the fruits or of the entire plant, bringing it right back and trying to control the dispersal of all those seeds onto the property. Because there's really nothing you can do. There's no way you can stop the plant from setting seed.
Right.
Other than deadheading.
Thank you very much. I'm just going out of my mind with it because it's all over the lawn.
Yeah. Of course, mowing the lawn helps. It keeps it down, but still, your lawn becomes a Rose of Sharon lawn.
Wow.
consider taking out that particular Rose of Sharon and looking at one that is not quite so prolific with seed, creation of seeds.
Mm-hmm. Right. Someone told me that a double Rose of Sharon does not drop its seeds.
Correct.
That right?
That's true. It's the singles usually that do all the seeding.
Right.
Yeah, the doubles have been selected, and they end up being genetically, it's impossible for them to set seeds. They're all propagated by cloning or cuttings.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right. So just a thought. Might want to just say goodbye to the plant or get on to trying to control the seeds.
Okay, Jane.
All right, Jane.
Thank you very much.
Sorry to laugh. I know. It's a problem for Jane.
But, yeah.
But it's just one of those things, like, too bad. That plant is just too happy.
In just a couple of moments, Charlie, we're going to be joined by Verna in Empire Corners. And we didn't have a chance.
I wonder where that is.
Well, that's just exactly what I'm going to say. We're going to find out exactly where Empire Corners is in just a moment after these words on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, here's our chance to find out exactly where Empire Corners is. I think we've been visiting there before, but
I'm
not sure.
I don't remember.
Verna, good morning. Are you a first-time caller, Verna?
No, I've called about three times, actually, over the years.
My mistake. Thanks for calling back.
Oh, no problem. And was rhubarb, then was geraniums, and now I'm calling to inquire about my amaryllis. Mm-hmm. I've never had it bloom, and and it's been outside. Should I be bringing it in and putting it in the dark now?
So it's never bloomed even the first year you got it?
No, it was one of those little kits, and to be honest, I wasn't that interested, and then it just kept staying all right, so I thought, okay, we'll play with it, so. Well, that's what I'm doing.
So it's outside. It's got lots of green leaves. It's in a pot.
I got four, actually.
Oh, okay.
But the bulb is still rather solid. It is solid, yeah. And it's in a small container. Mm-hmm. Do they like to be tight?
They do. If you see a lot of roots growing, I assume the container has drainage?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you see a lot of roots coming out of the bottom of that container, I would consider potting it to one size larger.
All right.
But they do like to be fairly pot-bound. And as well, the bulb is always only buried about halfway under the soil, and the top half is sticking up above the soil.
Maybe I have it in too far. I mean, I can see the top of the bulb, but it's more than halfway into the soil.
Yeah.
Maybe
I
should lift it a bit.
Yeah, so if you are doing a repotting, that would be the time to lift it a bit. And, of course, that helps us be able to feel the solidity of the bulb because, as you said, it does feel nice and firm. It
right.
should feel bigger because those green leaves are absorbing sunshine. Mm-hmm. They're converting sunshine into carbohydrate, and the plant is storing that carbohydrate in the bulb.
Right.
So outside all spring and summer and growing, you know, in the sunshine, the bulb should slowly but surely be becoming bigger and bigger and bigger.
Okay.
And the bigger it gets, the more likely it is to flower, and the bigger the flowers will be. So when it comes to bulbs, size does matter because you will find that bigger bulbs give you bigger and more plentiful flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So your options right now are, you have two options. One is you can force that plant to become dormant by stopping watering it. So no more water. And of course, you would have to take it under cover so that no rain is getting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it's just going to take a week or two. The green leaves are going to fade to yellow. You'll cut them off once they're yellow or brown and just put that pot away somewhere where it's preferably dark. It doesn't have to be particularly cool, but no water, no, you know, just ignore it. Let it be dormant for at least 6 weeks.
Okay.
At some point, it will start to grow. You have to check it every now and then. Once it starts to grow, then it's telling you, I'm ready to grow. Then you bring it into the light and start watering it regularly based on water requirements. You'll know it's going to flower when the first growth is a flower stem.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a leaf.
Well, you know, who knows? Like
yeah.
I say,
yeah. it
I
does.
Mean, I enjoy playing with plants.
Yeah.
I enjoy
yeah.
my garden.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's not like the big deal of my life, but it'd be just a curiosity.
Sure.
I'd like to see it.
It's fun.
I'd like to see it bloom.
Well, there's huge pride, too, and you do, you know, make these amazing flowers happen. Some people will leave, like you're experiencing a pot with the bulb in it, with the leaves on it. Some people just leave it and bring it in before frost as a houseplant. Don't allow it to go dormant. Continue to water. Continue to give sunshine and let it just do its thing. It's just going to grow more leaves. It takes up a lot of room, so you have to have room for it. And just let it do its thing, and it will flower when you least expect it. But it's so there's two ways to deal with the bulb. One is go dormant. The other is don't go dormant. But, it, you know, it's up to you.
Either way. Yeah.
Okay.
And just for a verification, I did a little checking, and am I right, Verna, that Empire Corners, basically south of Hamilton toward Lake Erie, about halfway.
Exactly.
Okay.
Between Dunville and Hamilton.
Okay.
Highway 56.
There you go.
Makes sense.
Okay.
I don't know how it got its name. Anyways, not a question.
Well, I'm sorry, love.
Reminder, you're going to give that golf phone number, right?
Good point. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, we'll do that just after I remind folks that we will be along next week, same time, same station. But we will give that number out again for John's.
I haven't given that number yet. No, for the soil testing.
Oh, the soil testing. Oh, yeah, very good.
No, it's okay. I'm on it. Thank you for reminding me.
Okie dokie. Elaine in Bob Cajun. Let's see what is on your mind and see if Charlie can help you out in any fashion here. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, and thank goodness I got on. But if I can't finish my description, is there an email that I can send some pictures to?
Yes.
Perfect idea.
That would be most helpful, Elaine, if you got a piece of paper and handy and a pencil.
Right.
Okay.
I do.
All righty. Write to Charlie Dobbin, C. dot Dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. That's simple. C.Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Okay?
Got it. Okay, now I'm going to try and get this description.
You know what, Elaine?
Yes.
Bess, why don't you send me the photographs, and then we'll talk about it next week on the radio.
We're short on time.
I'm panicky because I think this is a dangerous vine, and I think I should be cutting it down because it's twisted around this wild apple tree that's near the house, and it's got a stem and twisted like a thick, smooth garter snake. And I didn't notice it before, but now the foliage has poked out of the apples, and the foliage of the apple tree, and they're kind of like immature cherries, but it's not as if it's
Elaine.
Okay,
yeah, better send me some photos because we have no time to keep going, and I really, really appreciate you wanting some help, and I'm happy to help, but now is a hard time to do it because I'm going to get tossed off the radio in approximately 10 seconds. Phone number for the University of Guelph Soil Testing Lab, 519-767-6299. So 519-767-6299. Give them a call. They'll tell you all about how to collect soil, and they'll send you the right packaging.
Okay.
Okay. So
my goodness,
there we are.
And you know, I'm sorry for Leona there in Port Colborne. She was calling back for her second call of the morning. But well, better luck next time. Call earlier, Leona, and we'll get you on again.
Call early, call often.
Yeah,
one question
there
per
you
call.
Go.
Yeah. Well, no, we appreciate all the calls, and I love some of the problems people are having. So there's some very good stories in amongst all the challenges of gardening.
The Rose of Sharon, that poor lady with the whole lawn coming up with that stuff.
I know, Jane. Well, so listen, Frank. Thank you for checking out the county these last few days. I'm on my way myself out to the county tomorrow, and I will go check out that vinegar spot.
Oh, absolutely.
Since it does also have a winery attached, I think it's important to do a little bit of tasting
of course
at the same time.
Mm.
So thanks, Frank. Thanks to the great callers. See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.